You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast. We are back for 10 live Premier League games this weekend. Dave Kellner here, alongside Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin. First of all, good morning to you, Mr. McGovern.
Good morning, chaps. Hope all well in the studio there.
It is indeed. And Tom, good morning to you.
Good morning. I've got my pint of wine just alongside me, just to get in the spirit of the week.
Let's start with that, because not much has happened in the last week in the world of football, has it? Sam Allardyce, gone, sacked, or left by mutual consent from England, the job as England boss. And it's been a wild week, Mr. McGovern.
Yeah, who'd have thought Big Sam would be involved in anything like that? I mean, it must have been a bigger shock to the FA than it did to us, because, you know, he's never been any kind of hinted stain on his character at all, is there? I mean, it's an absolute shame where he's gone. No, it's not. It's a shame that he was ever appointed in the first place. I mean, he was an accident waiting to happen. And the ridiculous thing is, now he'll leave England. Well, he has left the England job with a 100% record. I mean, you know, which he'll no doubt brag about, because that's his nature. I mean, it's supporters are saying the sting, the newspaper sting, was a form of entrapment. But did you watch Allardyce play? He couldn't entrap anything. it's an absolute joke of an appointment. And, you know, I'm just glad he's gone. But the only problem now is, look what we've got left with Gareth Southgate. Bring back Sam.
Have you got any sympathy for him at all, Derek?
No, none at all. No, I mean, he's getting £3 million a year, much once more. Why would you need... I mean, you know... If you're on £3 million a year, why on earth do you need to be dabbling in any supposed hints of skullduggery? It's just pure, unadulterated greed. Normally, I'm all for it, but only when I'm involved.
Tom, you're reading the situation?
You forget all of that. What about those postcards he'd sent out? What a ridiculous thing that was for all the players to receive. Not only did they receive them late this week after he'd already gone, but who sends postcards nowadays? Well, there was a text or an email to the players. Our journey's begun with his signature on it. Like, that's a collector's item. Well, it is a collector's item if you can get hold of it. But no, I've got no sympathy for him either. It's just greed, isn't it, at the end of the day? I mean, you know, you kind of look at it and you think, you know, he's in this position. He hid no secret. He'd waited all his life to get into this position. And, you know, when he got the job, you know, I'm not a big fan of his, but, you know, I did kind of buy that. This is what he's worked for. He thought his chance had gone, and he's now got the chance to lead his country going forward. But then you just wonder, whether was he really happy about getting a job, or was it the opportunities it might open up being an England manager? So he was left with no choice, and the FA were left with no choice. But as Derek says, it's one of the options now moving forward, because not many of them are appealing, are they?
No, Gareth Southgate is the 5-4 favourite to be next permanent England manager. Here with William Hill, Ralph Rangnick is 3-1. Arsene Wenger's into 7-2. Steve Bruce 5-1. Eddie Howe 10-1. Alan Pardew is 12s, along with Glenn Hoddle, and it's 16-1 and bigger the rest. Ralph Rangnick, Tom, is the name that's on every single list. As soon as there's a new manager, he's the modern day Alan Kirbishley. Ralph Rangnick, he really is.
That's modern football, isn't it? It's not Alan Kirbishley, but it's a foreign manager who. Look, fair play to him if he gets even a sniff of the job, but I would suspect, certainly my reading of it would be that they'll probably ask Gareth Southgate to hold down the fort until the end of the season. I think they'll try and tempt Arsene Wenger. I think from the FA's point of view, Wenger would be a very nice fit for them. And I think in the ideal scenario that's what they'd have. But the problem is they're leaving it in the hands, I was going to say capable hands, but in the hands of Gareth Southgate, who, you know, is just the next cab off the rank, isn't he, from the under-21. So I think if he can keep things ticking over, which is, like I say, I think that'll be his aim. I think Wenger would be who the FA would really want at the end of the season.
I agree. I think, Derek, the FA want Wenger, and I think Wenger might see this as the point in his career to leave Arsenal and go for a managerial job, a cushy managerial job as well, where you only have to concentrate for a couple of weeks of the season.
Exactly. And, you know, we made some comments in the papers today saying that, you know, an England job would be something you consider if you didn't have club commitments. Well, those club commitments finish at the end of the year, possibly sooner, you know, who knows? At the end of the season, possibly sooner. So, that would seem to fit, wouldn't it, Wenger? whether he'll be the right man for the job. I have my doubts because I don't think he's been the right man for the Arsenal job for the last decade, but I'm in a minority there, it seems. I normally am. But yeah, Ralf Rangnick has been mentioned, of course, because apparently it's emerged this week that the FA interviewed him before they gave Sam Allardyce his job. Well, okay. If Ralf Rangnick can't get a job before Sam Allardyce, I wouldn't be backing him at 9-4 or whatever he is.
Everton versus Crystal Palace is the... Let's get stuck into the weekend's action. And Everton versus Crystal Palace is the live match tonight. 8 p.m. kickoff. Everton 3-4. The draw 14-5 with Palace 4-1. Enhanced odds, Yannick Bolasie to score and Everton to win was 5-2. Enhanced to 3-1. Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was 6-1. It's 8-1 now. Everton have won just one of their last six Premier League meetings with Crystal Palace. That was 1-0 back in January 2015, courtesy of a goal from Romelu Lukaku. They need to bounce back from their 1-0 defeat at the hands of Bournemouth last weekend. Tom, that result surprised me, given how well Everton had been playing, for them to be beaten and go down so feebly against Bournemouth last weekend. That was a surprise to me.
It was to me as well, particularly with Bournemouth's defensive record as well. I expected Everton to get on the score sheet a couple of times down there, and they were poor. And it does continue a little bit of a trend for Ronald Koeman. I mean, whatever good a reputation he's got at the moment, and he does have a very good one, he's done some good things with Everton. Defensively, his team still can't really crack it. He's kept just two clean sheets in his last 18 Premier League games, which is a concern. But generally, I felt Everton have been quite tight this season. They certainly don't give teams very many chances. They've only conceded 12 shots on target this season. That's the fewest in the league. But that was a disappointing defeat. There's seemingly every side this weekend is trying to bounce back from a defeat. And, they meet Palace at a time when, of course, they've hit that little bit of form and they're scoring goals. I mean, I can only see goals in this game, to be honest. But I see Everton coming out on top. I think Romelu Lukaku is even money to score any time. And I think it's a good price because, so much of that play revolves around Everton. But I don't think under Koeman this Everton side will go on bad runs of 4, 5, 6, 7 games. I can't see it happening. And I think last week was a one-off. And they're up against a Palace side who, I think they're unbeaten in the last three trips to Goodison Park. And that's because that counter-attacking style against Martinez's team has proved so effective. But I don't know whether I'm fully buying Crystal Palace just yet, although by all accounts and from what I've seen, they are playing well at the moment. So I think both teams are going to struggle to keep a clean sheet in this. I think Palace have the ability to score, but I think Everton have the ability to score 2 and 3 in this game. So I think Everton win. I think we're looking at an overs game, but I do like Lukaku. It's a similar price to Aguero later on in the weekend, but even money for players like them to score any time, I think is cracking.
Everton to win and both teams to score could be a good bet as well. 5-2, Everton to win the game and both teams to score. As Tom mentioned, Palace are in a good vein of form at the moment, Derek, having won 3 successive Premier League games. Christian Benteke, important part of the team, got the winner against Sunderland, scored against Borough as well. And he's got 4 in 5 Premier League appearances against Everton as well, Christian Benteke. He's part of that headline offer. Him to score and Palace to win has been enhanced to 8-1. How do you see this, Derek?
Well, when you go racing and you back the first winner of the day, and it's fantastic, isn't it? Because the rest of the day you're betting with bookies' money. Well, this is the chance this weekend. Get a winner Friday night. The winner will be Palace, by the way. And then you've got, 4-1. You've got bookies' money to bet with all weekend on the Premier League. I think Palace are unbelievably priced in there. This is a team banging form, as you say. 3 wins on the spin. The meeting an Everton team bang out of form. You mentioned it was a one-off, that Bournemouth defeat, but they'd lost 3 days earlier against Norwich. It was in the EFL Cup, but still, it was a home defeat by a lower division side. It was just fixture, by the way, last week that convinced me Everton were going to win the league. Last season that convinced me Everton were going to win the league. It finished 1-1, and Palace were playing well at the time, but Everton murdered them, absolutely murdered them. It was that daylight robbery that Palace got a draw, and from then on, I backed Everton every single week, and then they hardly won another game after that. I think the criminally underpriced here, odds on, I really do. I think Palace are meeting them at just the right time. And Palace now are getting back to the kind of form and the kind of look that made me back them away from home at these kind of prices all the time. I thought that had gone now. I'd gone with the departure of Yannick Bolasie. But no, they've won 2 games away from home this season. Their away form, by the way, this season is identical to Man United's away form. Same number of goals scored and conceded 2. And I suspect you wouldn't be getting 4-1 for Man United. OK, that's oversimplifying it, I know. But still, it just shows to me, or underlines to me, that Palace are way overpriced here, and I will be having a serious bet on them.
Palace, strong selection for Derek in the weekend's first game. 4-1 Crystal Palace to win at Everton tonight. Swansea versus Liverpool is the live game on Saturday, 12:30 kickoff. Swansea 7-1 to win the match. The draw 7-2 with Liverpool 4-9. Enhanced odds, Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win was 10-1. It's been enhanced to 14s. And Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win was 13-8. It's now 2-1. Liverpool look outstanding at the moment, Derek. I messaged you on Monday night to say Jurgen Klopp's on Monday Night Football, don't miss it. And I thought it was enlightening listening to him, because he's sort of trying to revolutionise the way the game is managed, not playing with any particular system, but almost instilling a gang-like mentality for his players, and they're playing fantastic football at the moment.
They are. They've been sensational, that game against Hull last week, but they were playing 10 men, let's not forget, for most of the game. You know, Liverpool are the likely winners here, obviously, the way they've been shaping. But this is Liverpool who can throw in a howler of a performance. For instance, that Burnley one. Well, maybe not a howler of a performance, but a howler of a result. Their away games this season, yep, they beat Arsenal 4-3, which on paper looks fantastic. But they only played for about 15 minutes that day. They let Tottenham come back at them. They lost at Burnley. You know, there are flaws there. You know, they've been getting unbelievable plaudits, but there are flaws there. I can't trust them at 4-9. I think that's way, way too short. I might look daft. They are capable of going to Swansea. I'm going 3-0 up inside the first 15 minutes. But the odds just don't appeal to me. I've got to be against Liverpool in some way here. Because I just remember the Burnley game. You know, they just beat Arsenal. They come back. Everybody was raving about them. And they lose 2-0 at Burnley. Swansea are on home soil, I would suspect, will give them a tougher time in Burnley too. I'm going to be with Swansea here. Not because they're playing any great football, but let's not forget they came back from the dead against Chelsea a couple of weeks ago and could easily have won that game. I'm going to go for Swansea with a goal start here at 7-4, because I've watched Liverpool more than anybody over the years, and I know they're capable, what howlers they're capable of, even under this new manager. And I just can't back them at 4-9 away from home. And look, let's not forget, by the way, their record at the Liberty Stadium stinks to high heaven. Swansea for me with a goal start at 7-4.
I must admit, when I saw these prices, Tom, I didn't think Liverpool would be as short as this. They have looked great. They've scored 16 goals in 6 Premier League games this season. And last season, it took them until their 13th match to reach 16 goals. Adam Lallana, Roberto Firmino, Sadio Mane, James Milner, chipping in from left back, admittedly, a penalty taker as well. And Swansea have only picked up 4 points from their opening 6 games. Speculation, as we mentioned last week, is mounting that Ryan Giggs is ready to step in if Francesco Guidolin gets the boot. But they are short here, Liverpool, at 4-9.
They're very short, because I agree with what Derek says. They are capable of throwing in a performance, and you'd be left scratching your head on Saturday afternoon thinking, well, where did that come from? They've been that good. I mean, Jurgen Klopp, you know, I've not seen a manager analyse his own team on national television for everybody to kind of watch. And even, I mean, he's even doing set pieces, which I thought was just crazy. I mean, he's even said, this is where he sits and this is where he stands. And but my problem here is I look at the Swansea side, and although they're scoring goals, you know, there aren't many games that go by that they don't score. I look at off the field. I know we said this last week, but seemingly things still aren't right. Guidolin was asked in his press conference, you know, do you have to win this weekend? Is this going to be your last game? And even Easton, I don't know, actually. You'll have to speak to the club. And just it doesn't seem right. And I think the problem for me in this one, from Swansea's point of view, is kind of that middle four at the back. You know, Jack Cork, Britton, their defenders as well, Van der Hoorn and Amat. I just see Liverpool getting much the better of them. And even Angel Rangel as well. He's not getting any quicker, is he? And I think he's a real weak part in this Swansea side, because he's been playing for them for that long a time that I think teams are really sort of going after them, and particularly down that Swansea right. I think they're going to be vulnerable. I'm just going to play goals here. I'm playing over 3.5 goals. And my fingers burnt on this one last week, because I thought Man City would win with more breathing space than they managed to do so. And I think that's because Swansea can score. As I say, there aren't many games go by where Swansea haven't been scoring, and you know, in particular at home. They've scored in the last 5 matches, you know, in all competitions this season. And every game this season, apart from that match to Hull, they found the back of the net. And I think they can do against the Liverpool side that are porous. I'm going to go for over 3.5 goals here at 11-8. I think it just covers you in a number of different ways, but I think there will be goals. I think when Liverpool are playing, they're open, but they could easily score 3 and 4 here.
On to Sunday now. Manchester United versus Stoke is televised. Midday kickoff. Manchester United 1-3 to win this match at Old Trafford. The draw 4-1. Stoke in the market at 10-1. Enhanced odds. Paul Pogba to score and Manchester United to win was 21-10. It's 3-1. And Wilfred Bonny to score and Stoke to win was 16s. It's now 25-1. We got what we were waiting for with Manchester United last weekend against Leicester City, Tom. They ripped into them, won that game 4-1, had it won at half-time. But last night, Thursday night, we saw them against Zorya, put out a strong side and look insipid for the whole 90 minutes. Eventually won the game 1-0 through Zlatan Ibrahimovic with Wayne Rooney's mishit assist. I'm not sure what we're going to see from Manchester United.
No, I'm not sure, but I know what we're going to see from Stoke, and I don't think we're going to see much of an improvement. Stoke got, that was the most predictable result of all time. Their draw with West Brom last week, and you know they'll probably be happy the fact they kept the scoreline or the opponents down to scoring just one goal. But I still think all is not right at Stoke, and Manchester United were great against Leicester for that sort of 25. Minutes, half an hour spell, they were brilliant. And why? Because they'd let Pogba off the leash. You know, they got rid of Rooney, which has just freed everybody up. And if a set of players ever wanted to make a point to a manager, it was that performance against Leicester. Yes, Leicester gave them the ball a lot and, you know, it probably allowed them to run riot, but they did it and they played with a bit of freedom. I still think with the Europa League, I don't know whether there's maybe a feeling that they're kind of above that, or they don't need to, you know, they don't concentrate enough on it. It doesn't have a feeling for me. It's a bit of an after the Lord Mayor's show sort of thing for them. So while they weren't great, you know, I still think they'll look at the Stoke side and be licking their lips. But I'm just not sure about Manchester. I'm still not sure about them. I think they win the game, but even with Stoke maybe showing a little bit of improvement last week, I'm not 100% sure. Manchester United have a great record against Stoke. They've won the last 8 games at home against them. They're unbeaten in 16 at home against Stoke. And interestingly, when Rooney hasn't played, I was looking at this stat this week, they've won 5 of the last 7 Premier League games in which Rooney hasn't started, so he's not going to start here. I don't know. I think it's a Manchester United win, but I think Stoke will want to put in probably a performance that they can take some pride from, but then they don't have the goal threat that I think will cause Manchester United problems. So I'm going to go for a Manchester United win and under 2.5 goals at 13-5.
Yeah, 13-5 on that. Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals. Juan Mata's playing well, Derek, for Manchester United. He's elevated his status from a good player at Chelsea to a very good player at Manchester United now. How do you see this? Manchester United very short in the market, as you'd expect, at 1-3.
Well, they're too short, aren't they? Because I still can't work out why they got so many plaudits for that result against Stoke. Well, not the result, the performance, because I don't think they were anything special at all. They were handed 3 goals from set pieces. It's not Stoke, Leicester, sorry. They were handed 3 goals from set pieces, which normally they wouldn't have been done. They would have been given. And I didn't see anything special from them. I really didn't. I thought they were bang average, which gives you an idea how bad Leicester were. Stoke have been playing less than average at the moment, and that's why they're 10-1. But United at 1-3, they're just not playing well enough to merit that kind of merit those kind of odds. And it's similar to the Liverpool Swansea game, this one. I see odds, I know it's too short, and I've got to oppose him some way. Interestingly, Stoke are almost evens, well, 3-4 anyway, with a 2-goal start. Now, you might say Stoke have been appalling. I've seen them on TV a couple of times, and they've looked shocking. They have not played as a team. It's a collection of individuals, it seems, and that's a big problem for Mark Hughes. But it stopped the rot, that result against West Brom. It's not a great result on paper, but it stopped a run of defeats. And they might get something from that. Let's not forget they've had a week to prepare as well while United have been punching around in the Europa League. That's not going to help them. It all points to me to give Stoke giving a decent account of themselves, because there's more to come from them. Mm. They're not as bad as they seem. They're not going to finish bottom of the league. You've got too many good players for that. So improvement will come. And you're getting 10-1 here. I mean, I'm not averse to sticking the odd tenner on that, you know, a 10-1 poll, because I think United are there to be beaten. But I'll play the professional bet here is Stoke with a 2-goal start. Because even if United were to win this, and 1-3 suggests they will win it, I can't see it being a cakewalk for them.
This is the first time, I think, this season, Derek, that you've mentioned the professional bet. You've mentioned it on I think, about four or five podcasts this season now, the professional bet.
Yeah.
Is that something new?
If I keep saying that, it might make people think I'm a decent punter. Long-standing listeners to this podcast know differently.
By the way, Derek, just talking about Stoke, one stat that came through from Opta, which I think is illuminating, is that four of the last six Premier League teams to take 2 points from their opening six games, as Stoke have, of course, have been relegated. So expecting Stoke to survive, but statistically it might not be as easy as we all think. I'm with you, Derek. I think there's got to be more to come from this Stoke City side.
Well, they've finished the last two seasons ninth, haven't they? And you know, they haven't weakened down. It's pretty much the same bunch of players that's finished ninth and eighth the last two seasons. You know, I wouldn't say they've had a tough run of fixtures, and that's not the easiest. But they started last season slowly as well, yeah. And they're still finishing the top half. There is more to come. And in a way, this fixture might work for them. It's a glamour fixture. You know, it's not like a West Brom or home. This is, you know, live on TV at Old Trafford. If they can't see get an improvement in this fixture, well, they could well be doomed.
I tell you, it's a big loss for them, Jack Butland. Huge, huge loss. There's no way they'd have conceded the goals that they have done this season if he was playing.
Tottenham versus Manchester City is next. 2:15 kick-off on Sunday. Tottenham 2-1. The draw 12-5. Man City 7-5. Three enhanced odds offers for this one at time of recording. Heung-min Son to score and Tottenham to win was 9-2. Now 6-1. Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 11-2. Now 7-1. And Raheem Sterling to score and Man City to win was 3-1, enhanced to 4-1. Big game of the weekend, Derek. It doesn't feel like it, though, does it, for some reason? I think it's because Tottenham have moved stealthily into second position in the league table. Just doesn't feel like a huge clash. And without Harry Kane, I wonder where the Spurs have the players to beat Manchester City on Sunday.
Yeah, you're right. I know what you mean. Spurs have sleepwalked almost, haven't they, towards the top of the table. And it's hard to think of a five-star performance by them. Last season, they were thrown in them every week. But I don't know how they are doing quite as well as they are. And without Harry Kane, too, you look down that list in the goal scorer market on Liverpool's website, and nothing leaps out. There's no, you know, they're not going to score a bagful here. City have done absolutely nothing wrong, have they? You know, they've done everything that's been asked of them and more. They've looked irresistible. And it was interesting to hear Jurgen Klopp on Monday night repeat what I'd pretty much said this season, that the player I look forward to seeing most of all is David Silva. He's been sensational. It's a tough one to call this because I don't think 7-5 to City has given anything away. But that's where my money will be going because I just don't think... I think Tottenham are playing 80% of what we can expect from them. City are playing pretty much like 99%. City on their day would beat Tottenham on their day. And I think 7-5, okay, not the world's greatest price, but I'll be back in now.
Manchester City are 7-5 to win at Spurs, who are 2-1. I think Tottenham will look to make the most of their physicality in this match, Tom, because they've got a pretty tall, big team. Wanyama in there, Moussa Sissoko, Moussa Dembele as well. Eric Dier should be back for this one. Jan Vertonghen, the new Dutch striker, Vincent Janssen's tall, and Toby Alderweireld. It's just whether or not they can get in those situations to put pressure on City from set pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really sort of affects City too much. I think that they're very much of the mindset, if we keep the ball off you, you're not going to get any chances. And I think that's what they're capable of doing at White Hart Lane. It's difficult for me to disagree with anything Derek said there. I mean, Tottenham, you know, none of their scorelines, particularly at home, that they've not scored more than one goal at home in the Premier League since April last year, where they beat Manchester United 3-0. So that's five games this season where they've only scored one goal in each of those matches. So that's where I'd be concerned, because I think Manchester City can easily go there and score two and three. And Aguero, you can't look past him. I mean, he's my favourite go-to bet every single week. Even money anytime, 2 or more, 9-2. I think Man City win this one. Lots of goals in these meetings as well. 22 in the last five meetings at White Hart Lane. And although it goes against the trend of Tottenham this season, over 3.5 at 7-4, you know, it could be a wide open match.
If you think the City are going to win it, they are 7-5 to do so. The draw 12-5, Tottenham in the betting at 2-1. Do check out Sergio Aguero, who has now got 28 goals in his last 27 Premier League appearances for Manchester City. Got 5 in 4 in the league this season. Even money, Sergio Aguero to score anytime. It is one of those bets, Derek, where you see some Premier League sides priced up at even money and you think, how can they be even money? But with Aguero, you've got the stats to back it up, haven't you? Even money is not a bad bet for Aguero to score.
No, well, it rewards you all the time, doesn't it? I mean, I remember years ago when the first super strikers came in, you know, the Alan Shearers and the Andy Coles, and he was just firing in goals for fun. And at the time, you'd normally, before they came around, you'd normally be getting something like 5-1 for the first goal scorer. And all of a sudden, they were down to 3-1, and everyone's saying, only 3-1. But they kept winning. It kept winning. And it's the same with Aguero now.
It is. Even money, I think, is a good bet for him to score any time. On to Burnley versus Arsenal, which is a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. Burnley are 17-2 to win the match. The draw 7-2 with Arsenal in the market at 2-5. Enhanced odds, Sam Vokes to score and Burnley to win was 12-1. It's been enhanced to 16-1. And Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 15-8, now 5-2. Tom, are you buying into Arsenal? Are you buying into this loving with Arsenal at the moment?
Not yet, but their form has been very good. Look, they ripped apart an awful Chelsea side last week. I mean, Chelsea were just awful defensively, but Arsenal ripped them to pieces. And, you know, Arsenal are capable of doing it. My go-to bet, I suppose, in this kind of game is what we talked about before when they went to Hull and they destroyed them. They've won 22 of the last 25 games against newly promoted sides. They've only drawn three times, and a lot of those victories have been, you know, with a little bit of daylight as well. So, you know, it's one of those where Burnley at home on Monday night, I watched that game, and they just didn't have to work too hard to beat Watford. Watford were awful, and Burnley did them on set pieces. That could only be Arsenal's undoing, but I think this is a game that Arsenal win comfortably. I don't buy into Arsenal, tough turf more, maybe not fancying the physical battle, because they went to Hull, who I think are a similar sort of side to Burnley, and they just pulled them to pieces with their football. So minus a goal, 10-11, even minus 2 at 5-2 looks decent enough. I know Burnley don't give a huge amount away at home, but I think this is the toughest game that they've had at Turf Moor this season.
If you're looking for potential goal scorers here as well, do have a look at Theo Walcott if you want to, 6-4 in the form of his career right now after his two goals against Basel. And Alexis Sanchez, who is even money to score any time, 7-2 to score first and last. He has 4 in his last 4 in the Premier League and has got 3 in his last 4 against Burnley as well. So Alexis Sanchez in there at even money. Undoubtedly, Derek, the way Arsenal are playing at the moment, they will fully expect to go to Turf Moor and pick up all 3 points, but they are 2-5 to do so.
Yeah, you know it's too short, but what Tom says about Arsenal, this is the kind of fixture they go and win all the time. They don't seem to make any mistakes. The only thing about, you also Burnley though, they've only conceded 2 goals at home in the Premier League this season. This is sad, it's only just come up. It's not as if they've had that many easy fixes. They had Liverpool at home, by the way. You know, and won that. I don't know how, but they won it. And they absolutely murdered Watford the other night. Watford never got a kick. And that was a team that had just beaten Man United. I'm not sure about that fixture. I'm not sure it was Burnley being brilliant or Watford being absolutely appalling. Possibly a mixture of two. It troubles me, this fixture. I really don't know what to think. I don't see Burnley winning it. But it's not going to be a cakewalk for Arsenal either, because Burnley just do not concede too many at home. And you know what I might do? I might go on both teams to score, 8-11. I think that's probably a safe bet. It's a fixture that troubles me. I've got no confidence.
On to Saturday's non-televised matches then. We'll start with Hull at the KCOM. They are taking on Chelsea. 6-1 Hull to win the game. The draw 100-30 with Chelsea in the market at 1-2. Enhanced odds, Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 10-1. It's been enhanced to 14s. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 29-20. It's now 2-1. Chelsea's league form, Derek, has capitulated pretty quickly. Yeah. Picked up just 1 point from their last 3 matches. And as Tom mentioned earlier, they were annihilated by Arsenal last Saturday. 6-1 Hull City to win this fixture, Derek.
Chelsea were appalling. And I mean, it was highlighted. I'm not telling people anything new here. The raggedness of their defenders in possession, they almost looked like amateurs whenever they were pressed by Arsenal in their own half. And Ivanovic, I can't believe the rate of decline. This is a guy who a couple of seasons ago, I was saying he's the most underrated defender in the Premier League. He never seemed to have a bad game for about 8 years. And now he's just appalling. He's a joke player. I don't know how can that happen. What is his confidence must be shot to pieces. And
I couldn't believe his age as well. I think he's just caught up with him, Derek.
It must be. But you'd think there's two managers who've been playing him, and I mean, he's still been playing like that. Conte and Mourinho before him. He's got to be taken out the firing line soon. He's an absolute liability. Chelsea were appalling against Arsenal. And, you know, that wasn't the first time. They after a good start to the season, their form's fallen off a cliff. And no way do they deserve being back at 2-5. Hull have got problems, of course, injuries and suspensions. They finished the last two games with 10 men. I'll forgive them that performance against Liverpool last week because Liverpool were in the kind of mood that could have put five past anybody. They're not without a chance here, Hull, because Chelsea are searching for confidence. They're searching for a system. I look at Chelsea and I don't know what they're playing. Hazard seems to have gone off the boil after the first two games when he looked like a world beater again. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give Hull a chance here. It's team spirit. Team spirit is a big thing in sport. And they seem to have it. They really do. Chelsea don't seem to have any at all. It's like the same in the Ryder Cup. That's why I'm back in Europe. I always back Europe in the Ryder Cup because they got fantastic team spirit, whereas the Yanks never seem to have it. I'm going for Hull on that basis here. I think they're overpriced.
6-1, Hull to win the game. Without Ahmed Al-Mohammadi, you mentioned, David, they'd had players sent off in back-to-back Premier League matches. He's missing his first ever Premier League game for Hull. Played every single game last season and the year before for Hull City.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and he's played all six this season before this match. Hull have never beaten Chelsea in the Premier League, losing six and drawing twice. But I think we mentioned Branislav Ivanovic on last week's podcast, Tom, and we spoke about Chelsea without John Terry. He is returning for this game, which is a big boost for them because without Terry, David Luiz doesn't have an earthly bat there. He's not got a clue. And Gary Cahill, his errors are becoming more frequent. I think he will benefit from the stability Terry provides in that back four.
Well, he's done the same thing in two games, Swansea and Arsenal, Gary Cahill. And I think maybe that is because he didn't have John Terry alongside him. I don't know. I mean, I kind of look at this Chelsea side and I think if the Arsenal game hadn't have happened, I think the Hull players will have been watching that thinking, we can cause this team problems. We can get after them and ruffle a few feathers. I think if they hadn't have watched that performance, they might be a little bit concerned about the players they're coming up against from an attacking point of view. But if Chelsea are going to concede the goals that they've conceded, then Hull have got an opportunity. And I'm with Derek there. You know, the team spirit will go an awful long way. Chelsea are way too short in this one. But, you know, it's one of those where what's Hull's approach to this game? How do they sort of get after Chelsea then? Because they don't have, I don't think they have the kind of players that can play a big sort of possession game. I think set pieces have been their route forward a lot. They have been open in midfield and they've also conceded a lot of shots on target this season, 40 shots on target, that's the most in the league. So Chelsea will certainly feel that they can score goals. I don't know about this. I've got no faith in Chelsea from a defensive point of view. And I don't know if it's too early to go back on my pre-season title predictions, but
I was thinking that's exactly where I was heading.
I'm not really convinced. All is not well there, so I'm a little bit concerned. I'm going to go for a draw here. I think Hull will give them a tough time, and I think it'll be a tough start for the match. And I can't see Chelsea recovering from last week, you know, straight away. So, you know, I think Chelsea are a team that I think when they start to feel sorry for themselves, bear in mind they've had 12 to 18 months of doing that. I don't think they're a team that you want to be backing, just like they were last season. If they go on a rut, they don't play well. I don't think they've got many players to kind of lift themselves up from that.
100-30 for the draw in the game. That's a key stat, I think you mentioned, Tom, as well, with the shots on target conceded. That's usually an indicator of a team that are going to be beaten in upcoming weeks. Mm. That whole stat, 40 shots on target they've conceded this season.
They can't do that. Look, whatever we say about Chelsea defensively, that's where all their problems lie. Conte doesn't know where he's going to play. He's playing Kante so deep. He wants to play the three centre-halves. I think that's where he wants to sort of go towards because obviously it's been successful for him in the past. But he doesn't really know how to do it with the personnel he's got. So what he's kind of doing is he's kind of shifting Kante as close to being a centre-back without actually being one and just seeing if anybody notices it. And it's just a waste of his talent. He needs to be able to do exactly what he did at Leicester. He played in a four across the middle, him and Danny Drinkwater. We all know it. But that's where he was so effective. You don't need to restrict him in that sense. He can play in a two, no problem, win the ball. And what I'm saying there is defensively, yeah, Chelsea have problems, but you know, going forward, they're brilliant. And they've got players that can score from outside the box, as Adam Willian in particular. So if they let Chelsea's quality of the amount of shots that they have been giving away in previous games, that you know, they might be in a spot of bother.
Sunderland West Brom up next. Sunderland are 6-4. The draw 21-10. West Brom 11-5. Enhanced odds. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 13-5. Now 7-2. Nasser Chadli to score and West Brom to win was 4-1. Now 6-1. Tom, backing Sunderland at the moment is pretty fraught, to be honest, given that they couldn't hold on to a two-goal lead at home against Crystal Palace last week, and they are rooted to the foot of the Premier League table. And West Brom rescued a point with a 90th-minute Salomon Rondon equaliser away at Stoke last weekend. Is this the nil-nil this week, this Sunderland-West Brom match?
Yes, I think it's going to be a draw. This is a game only a mother could love. And I think even the Sunderland fans are probably looking at next week's fixture after last week going, oh, West Brom, brilliant. I just can't see David Moyes' side. I mean, someone said to me, oh, you know what, that Sunderland team, they're not as bad as you think. I went, yeah, they are. And I think they're really bad. There's nothing about them. I mean, the only thing they've got in their favour, obviously, is Jermaine Defoe, who can pop up and score a goal. And still last week against Palace, he was a threat. But how damaging was that? That the fact that they were 2-0 up with half an hour to go, Defoe had grabbed both the goals. And Palace, and I know someone who was up at the game, said, oh, no, Palace were the better side throughout. They actually deserved it. And actually, Palace, even when they were 2-0 down, they knew they were going to win. There was kind of this feeling that it was just inevitable. And that's the problem at the stadium right now. It is not a good place for the Sunderland players to be playing. The fans have lost all belief. And I think West Brom won't exactly be going there for the win, put it that way. But this will be one that, in his office, Tony Pulis will have marked down as a big, fat point. And if they don't get the point, I think he'll be pretty disappointed. So, yeah, I think that's the way it's going to go. The only thing I would probably look at is, and he is the bright spot, is, of course, Jermaine Defoe. He's 29-20 any time. He's 4-1 to open the scoring. Obviously, he's involved in that enhanced odds that you mentioned there. But I can't be back in the Sunderland win. So I'm just going to play it safe with the draw.
The draw for Tom in the game, 21-10. Derek, two of the last three have actually finished 0-0 between these two sides as well. So we're looking at a low-scoring game here, aren't we?
Without question. I mean, how bad are Sunderland? The last 13 Premier League matches against West Brom, they've only won one of them. This is not against Chelsea or Man City or Liverpool. It's against West Brom 13 times and they've only won one. I mean, that was before David Moyes took over. Jeez, I mean, this is a team that's going down without question. And everything Tom says about their limitations is right. Tony Pulis, you know what he'll do. They've failed to score. In Tony Pulis's teams, not just West Brom, other teams have failed to score in six of their last eight top flight meetings with Sunderland. Right. So you know what he does when he goes there. He shuts up shop, like he does pretty much everywhere else. It's got 0-0 written all over it. I think it's 8-1. Did I see an 8-1 around for 0-0?
15-2 it is.
Yeah, good ad.
Derek, yeah.
It's too big. It should be about 4-7. It really is. I can't see any other scoreline.
It is a big price, that. 15-2 for the 0-0 draw in the game. West Ham versus Middlesbrough next. West Ham are 13-10. The draw 23-10. Middlesbrough are 23-10. Enhanced odds, Mikel Antonio to score and West Ham to win was 14-5, now 4-1. Christian Stuani to score and Middlesbrough to win was 6-1, now 8-1. Derek, surely West Ham have got to start winning again soon. It's driving me mad, actually. I'm just happy they're not on TV this week, Derek, because my dad's a big West Ham fan and I foolishly agreed to watch these games with him. And every single time they go behind, Derek, he always asks me what price I think West Ham should be, to which I respond, no price is big enough. He still backs them and they still keep getting beaten. And the defending in that match last weekend was really laughable. And Mark Noble got stuck into them afterwards. There was one moment in that game against Southampton where Arbeloa and Ogbonna, they would stood on each other's toes and I think it was Shane Long, whoever it was, Charlie Austin, I think it was, went through and they scored easily. West Ham looked so bad at the moment. They've got to come good at some point.
Well, you know, I said that about Stoke earlier in the bulletin and I know why, because Stoke will definitely come good because they've got the players there. But I'm looking at West Ham now and unless Payet is firing, and he isn't, I just don't see anything from them. You might get a far post header from Antonio, but other than that, their threat is nil. And I, you know, it's not often I'll back Middlesbrough because I don't think they look dangerous enough going forward. But playing West Ham now, it's a gimme. It's a three-pointer. But earlier in the season, Borough might have thought, yeah, we're playing West Ham. We get a point there, that'll do as well. They'll be looking for 3 points here because West Ham are bereft of everything. Confidence, ability, inspiration. The manager seems shot to pieces. They're playing at home and it's no advantage for them. And, you know, on a ground that they all, the fans all hate and probably the players do too. This is a team just waiting to be beaten, looking for an excuse to down tools. And I think Middlesbrough are a big price. I didn't think I'd say that about a Middlesbrough team at just over 2-1 away from home, but I really believe that this weekend.
They are playing reasonably well, Tom, without picking up points, Middlesbrough, at the moment.
They're scoring goals. I mean, they've scored in the last three. I think it's been a bit of a wake-up, you know, and a wake-up call for them in the Premier League, obviously, with the last three matches that they've had. But with regard to West Ham, I mean, 7 goals conceded in the last 2 home matches. You know, they've been out partying till the early hours this week, which, you know, the manager even said was his idea. And talking about stats, and these are the ones I like, they've allowed 32 shots on target from inside the area. That's more than 14 other Premier League clubs in total. Now, if anything tells you about how easy it is at the moment to play against West Ham, to get into the box and get your shots away, it's that statistic there. I mean, Southampton, it was like a training match at times. I couldn't believe that, you know, professional footballers supposedly, you know, playing in the best league in the world could make some of the mistakes that they were making. And as you said, they were on each other's toes. They seemed to have no shape. There was no organisation. And Southampton, by that point, were strolling into the box. And Middlesbrough now, I mean, I don't think they kind of have to win. But I think in the context of where West Ham are at the moment, they'll be going to target the win. I think at any other point, you know, if this was Upton Park last season, Ita Karan could be saying, hey, get a point, good result, move on. Because Middlesbrough don't have a good record in London. But now they've got to go there and target them. The only concern for Middlesbrough is the lack of goals that they are scoring. And they've never really looked potent for a period of time in any of the matches that they've played. I know they've scored in the last three, but they've only scored one. And I think one goal might be enough for them this weekend. I can't be back in West Ham. I'd take Middlesbrough on the draw no better at 11-8. It just worries me a little bit, Middlesbrough scoring goals. I think if I'd seen a bit more evidence of them being able to get 2 and 3, then I'd be a little bit more confident on them. But I'm just a little bit more reserved. But I've absolutely no faith in West Ham at all. It's just whether Middlesbrough can break them down.
Watford versus Bournemouth is next. Watford 7-5, the draw 11-5, Bournemouth 11-5. Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win was 5-2, now 3-1. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Tom, I see this as a difficult game to assess. Watford, having beaten West Ham away and Manchester United at home, could barely make it out of their own half at Turf Moor on Monday, losing 2-0, while Bournemouth got stuffed at the Etihad, went out of the cup against Preston North End, and then beat Everton 1-0 at the Vitality. 4 of the last 5 meetings between the clubs have been draws. Will this one be a draw as well, Tom?
Yeah, I think it could be. I mean, Watford were completely bullied on Monday night, and I mean completely by Burnley. I mean, it was set pieces, but Bournemouth don't play that way, do they? So, I don't know, this is a concerning one. I mean, all these Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs this weekend, I mean, every team seems to be trying to bounce back or get a run going, or they're not playing well, and the inconsistency of Watford would be a little bit of a concern. But I think at home, and I think the way Bournemouth will kind of approach it, I think we'll probably play into Watford's hands. I'm going for goals in this one. I'm unsure of the result. I'm even unsure about the draw. I might look at both score no draw at 13-8. But this is a game where I see plenty of goals in it. I really do. I'm going to look at the over 3.5 at 12-5. Bournemouth don't often score more than one. It's 11 games since they last scored more than one goal in a match, which is so unlike Bournemouth. And they seem to have lost that little bit of swagger that they had when they came in at the Premier League and they had as they moved up through the divisions. But I think the way Watford will approach it, as I say, I think it will be open. And I fancy Bournemouth on the counter-attack to get on the score sheet. Watford have only had one clean sheet in the last 17 Premier League matches. So I'm going goals in this. And I'm going to take the plunge on over 3.5 at 12-5.
Derek?
I've got no idea about the 90-minute results. The draw looks a big player, obviously. I can't believe what I saw from Watford. If I hadn't seen that game on Monday, I'd have lumped on them this one because I watched them against Man United and they looked sensational. But they were just appalling against Burnley. I said last week they'd bully Burnley. It was the opposite. They got bullied by the Clarets. It was inexplicable how bad they were. And maybe that's going to be the story of the season in the Premier League, because Bournemouth as well. I can never catch them right. I couldn't see that result against Everton last week. And a month of Sunday is unbelievable. So it's probably the most difficult of all fixtures to call this weekend, on a very trappy weekend for punters. I'm going to just play I'll have a little dabble on both teams to score just under the even money mark. I think it's 7-10.
Leicester versus Southampton is the final game we are going to look at on the punt, and Leicester are 5-4 to win it. The draw 9-4, Southampton 5-2. Enhanced odds, Islam Slimani to score and Leicester to win. That was 14-5, now 4-1. And Shane Long to score and Southampton to win. That was 9-2, now 6-1. Leicester won again midweek, Derek, in the Champions League, beating Porto 1-0. There's no doubt in my mind that some of their players are saving themselves for those European matches. None more so than Riyad Mahrez. So it will be interesting to see how they perform back in the Premier League on Sunday. That's something for punters to be wary of when there's a Champions League midweek fixture coming up, though, Derek, in the future.
Yeah, there isn't next week, is there? It's the international break, isn't it? You know, Leicester shouldn't have any excuses, but you're dead right. The signs are already there. I mean, they've been in the weekends before Champions League fixtures, they've been appalling, Leicester, and then they go and bounce back in midweek with unbelievable results. I backed Porto big time on Tuesday to beat them, but they did a good job on them, Leicester. The thing is, it's all factored in, all that, to these odds, because on the face of it, Southampton should be more than 5-2 to win at the home of the champions, shouldn't they? I mean, that's no price at all for Southampton. And Leicester, this is the title winners, 5-4 at home against a mid-table team like the Saints. The odds are odd, but I can understand why they're doing that. The odds compiler know exactly what we've been saying. You know, Leicester don't seem to be turning it on in the Premier League. Well, in a nutshell, what does that all mean? Well, I don't know. I would back Southampton were it not for Thursday night's fixture. They were in action on Thursday, and I don't think they've got a deep enough squad to cope with that. We've seen it from the likes of Ipswich and teams like that in the past. I'll go for the draw here at 9-4. It's almost the same price as a Southampton win, and it's, you know, just as likely, probably more likely. I can't be backing Leicester, not on their Premier League form at the moment.
They draw 9-4. They've kept 5 consecutive clean sheets. Southampton set up pretty well away from home as well. Tom, they've won 4 of those 5 matches, with only that draw in the Europa League midweek halting their momentum. Leicester versus Southampton, 5-4 Leicester, draw 9-4, Southampton 5-2. What do you think, Tom?
I think if Southampton hadn't have had their Thursday night trip to Israel, I'd really fancy them, but it does take it out of you. There's no question. I mean, those players won't be getting back till, you know, the early hours of Friday morning back into England, and it does set you back whichever way you look at it. Leicester had a cushy home fixture, and the Champions League, as you guys have said, have had a major effect. But the one thing I do like is Southampton's sort of defensive record. They only lost here 1-0 back in April. Admittedly, of course, Leicester were on the march to the Premier League, and they just needed wins however they came. They started to get very narrow victories. But I don't see Leicester winning this comfortably. Far from it. I mean, I'd be with the Southampton side who have not had to. I don't think they've had to break sweat in any of their recent victories, as impressive as they've been. You know, they played Palace when it went before they'd hit form. They went to West Ham, Sparta Prague at home, who were no great thing. So I'm not as blown away by Southampton's run as maybe some people. But Leicester, likewise, you know, too many of their players just aren't turning it on, and I still think they're trying to adjust to life without Kante. They're not getting the best out of Jamie Vardy. Vardy's, you know, got his book out this week and everything else, so I don't know how much of a distraction that is, whether he's had his Skittle-flavoured vodka ahead of the match and his ports, which is revealed that he has before every game.
Gallon of Red Bull
Yeah, I just can't see Jamie Vardy being a port drinker. I couldn't believe that, especially in the changing room, swilling it around in a big glass, but there you go. I'm with Southampton here to get a result. So, again, I'd probably look at... I'd give them a goal at 8-13, Southampton plus a goal.
Southampton plus 1, 8-13 is Tom's pick in that last game. Naps then, chaps, as we always finish with the best bets this weekend. Derek, you had a winner last week. Tottenham.
What was it again?
Tottenham.
Oh, right, yeah. Finally, I couldn't figure
There's so many winners, Derek, you forget about them now.
Well, I've got a winner here. You know what? I should play safe here, but I'm not. I'm going to be intrepid. I'm going to go for actually no... Well, I won't. You mentioned 15-2 was 0-0 in the West Brom Sunderland game.
Yes.
But if you look at the total match goals under 0.5, it's 8-1. Oh, mind you, that doesn't get you the own goal scenario, does it? I'm going to go for no goal scorer in Sunderland West Brom at 17-2.
15-2.
Oh, sorry, 15-2.
Nice try though, Derek. I like that. 15-2 no goal scorer, Sunderland versus West Brom for Derek. Tom?
Tricky one, because obviously that game stands out. I'm going to go for Middlesbrough at West Ham. I cannot see West Ham improving enough. So I'm going to go for a Middlesbrough victory away from home.
I fancy City to win at Spurs 7-5. And if you're wondering what that low drone is in the background, that's not Lee Phelps, is it, Tom? That's some sort of machinery where you're recording this afternoon.
They're just bringing in candidates for the next England manager. Just loading them in, saying, come along, have a go.
That treble, 66-1, the treble this weekend.
Beautiful.
No goal scorer, Sunderland versus West Brom for Derek at 15-2. Middlesbrough to win at West Ham at 23-10. And Man City to win at Spurs at 7-5. Chaps, thank you for your company.
Pleasure, lads.
Cheers, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's listened this week as well. Remember, you can download this podcast via audioboom.com and check us out on iTunes as well. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back next weekend. If you're having a bet this weekend, good luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.